a song or psalm of David, Psalm 108. And we take the psalms in order, although we did start with 119 and go to the end and started again from Psalm 1, but otherwise in taking them in order. And the last time we considered, well, the last few psalms have been psalms of thankfulness, and the last one considered the great salvation described of the most desperate cases, the solitary wanderer, the rebel, the fool, and the, well, the foolhardy or the brave person, and their various different situations. Partly that was what caused them, but God caused them to call out to him in their troubles, and he heard them and relieved them from their distresses. And these were all pictures of salvation generally, and we may know something of such things ourselves, solitary rebels, fools, or brave, foolhardy, whichever some of these categories we have some of the characteristics of, and these miseries, yet we know God's grace. And so Psalm 108 begins with that great expression, O God, my heart is fixed, or as it said in the Kavanah version that we read, my heart is ready. That's a nice word to use to it. It's not merely that a broken heart has been mended, but that it's now established. It's ready. It's on solid ground. It's fixed, as in steadfast, rather than a faltering or fading heart. And this is the thing that the Christian knows, the heart that is so deceptive, now having been actually broken, firstly, it's fixed, it's ready, it's established in Jesus Christ. We're on the rock, we're on firm ground, trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so praise is most appropriate. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. And we just firstly want to consider the fixed heart that praises, then the fixed heart that praise, and then the fixed heart that boasts of God. But first of all, just to note this psalm, it consists of parts of two other psalms. So you could have your finger in Psalm 57 and Psalm 60. Yet it seems like we have here a great psalm in its own right. So what's happened? Well, Psalm 57 begins in calamity, when David has been into the cave. You remember where Saul was in a cave and David cut off part of his clothing, and he came out and proved that he didn't kill Saul, although it's a wonderful story that David could have killed him, but he said no, he wouldn't lay his hand on the Lord's anointed, and he came out. But he was in calamities and in distresses, and then he comes through crying to God and praising God, and then he comes up with this, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart. From the first five verses of our Psalm 108 are the last verses of Psalm 57. So there he comes to praise out of his distress, but here he starts with prayer, starts with praise, and then at verse 6 he turns to prayer there. So that then is taken from Psalm 60. Presuming it was taken this way round. Uh, And here we're told that this is of David when he strove with Aram Naharaim and Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the valley of Sol 12,000. So here this proclaimed to be for a victory, and yet remember back to this psalm, it's a couple of years ago when we go through this, that actually it seems to be for a victory that's to come, because he's speaking here of being cast off, but yet he's trusting. He's speaking, cast off, thou hast been displeased with us. Terrible, it seems. But then of raising a banner, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Great valiance. And then it comes out of this deliverance. And this is then crying to God for help in trouble, and yet with a great assurance. So that's just briefly there where this psalm has come from. So it appears to be here that we've got a compilation, that there's one or two words slightly different, but it's almost exactly the same. It appears that this psalm has been taken as parts of two other psalms and joined together and put in here. Sometimes in the stories in Samuel and Kings, there are some psalms that you'll find in that way as well. And indeed, but in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in Romans 3 quotes many psalms altogether. He didn't hesitate at doing that. So these words were for one occasion, then they're for another occasion. They're used in different ways. And so it's not here a vain repetition. Some apparently of the commentators, they say, oh well, the first half of Psalm 108 we've already dealt with in Psalm 57, the second half we've dealt with in Psalm 60, so we'll go on to Psalm 109. But of course the Bible wouldn't have put it there if it wasn't for us to read it, and so we're assured that God wouldn't give vain repetition, and so we can take it as it is. God could have used all sorts of words. I'm always amazed in the Gospel of John, for example, where many words are used almost, and in John's epistles, round and round, it seems they go in circles, but they say so much, and it's such a deep way. So God has all sorts of ways of using his words, and this is one of them here. And so we can come to God's words. Of course, the important thing with these words isn't just that they're words from another psalm, they've been put together as if we've tried to put some words together, but it's the heart is fixed here. The heart is fixed, the heart is ready, it's established, and this is exactly where we are then in Jesus Christ. Our heart otherwise could deceive us. It's not ready for anything. It's full of self-confidence. It's haughty. It's high-minded. It lifts itself up above God and all things out of order. So here we have the normal, what we might call the normal Christian life. It is a heart that is fixed. Now we may battle. We're in a battleground. We still have indwelling sin. We still have the world against us. We have the devil against us. But we can say to God, oh God, my heart is fixed. And from this position of being in Christ, we can know that we're secure with God. But yeah, much is needed. Much is needed in the Christian life. We need help. We all need help, one sort or another. We aren't to assume on our own strength. We're not to live on the past, on resources we've got. We're to depend upon God. We're to be prayerful people. And yet here, rather than beginning with our state, apart from our heart is fixed. That's all we've said about ourselves to start with. We then go straight to praise. And people might find this strange, but here, as it were, the psalm is taken around. So we could take it this way around. And so these words are applied here to begin the psalm rather than to conclude it, as in Psalm, as it was in Psalm 57, where he fled and made his refuge under the shadow of God's wings until the calamities would be overpassed. So here we begin with praise, but it's not vain repetition. Now, we note that this fixed heart, it isn't a heart of self-esteem. It's not a self-confident heart. This is a heart that this is a humble heart. It sounds like it's boasting when it speaks, but it's not. This heart has been brought low. It's been convicted of sin. As Psalm 107 shows, those various cases, they cried out to the Lord. Yes, that has happened. But now the Christian can say his heart is fixed. He can say he is set right with God by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he can sing. And so this then is the starting point here, that the Christian can begin to praise the Lord, to sing and give praise. And he does it here. He says, even with my glory. So the best things that a person's got are to be given to the Lord. If we had anything good to boast of ourselves, we should be able to use any strength we've got, any intelligence or any strength, to sing God's praise. And he uses music here he calls it to awake, as if it's gone to sleep. We're not sleepy this evening. Thankfully I can see, but early. I myself will awake early. And there's other psalms further back that begin for the morning, waking up to God. Towards the beginning of the book of Psalms, he talks about praising God early in the morning. And there's songs and psalms to be singing from all parts of the day, but there's often a tendency at the beginning of the day to start with what's got to be done. And here is a good precedent set here. Early start, yes, there'll be lots to do perhaps during the day, but to begin to set the heart on God. It's God who gives us all things to do, all with. And so early is a good time to begin in setting our heart to sing of God's praise with our whole strength. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. So here, he's very ambitious about this. The person who knows the Lord has a vision for the rest of the whole world here. And this is Old Testament David, king, to be the king of a small country. But yet, this praise of God is greater than his country. This is to go out to all the ends of the earth, to all peoples and all nations, there to hear God's praise sung. And today we feel the church is somewhat shy in this. But we shouldn't be as shy as we are with this. We should follow this good example. If we would start to praise God, our hearts, our glory would fill up if we would awake early to this cause and to sing God's praise. People living in darkness have seen a great light when Jesus Christ came. Well, they should now, they have to see it through us. We pray that the Holy Spirit will give us opportunities and give us courage to speak of Christ, to speak his praise. If we don't literally sing to people, well, we can try that one. but we can speak to them. For thy mercy is great above the heavens. This is the characteristic of God, to praise him for his mercy. Verse 4 here. There's a picture of, I see the aeroplanes up in the sky sometimes, I mean stars and that, but above, if that was all filled with God's mercy, think how much it would be if the whole earth was full of God's mercy to his people, saving us sinners. And yet his mercy is above the heavens. It's even more than if it filled up the whole earth. This should be our praise that we sing to God. Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. There is truth and there's lies and deception, but the word of God is the truth, and it's good. It's good to know the truth, isn't it? Not to be following false things, but to know that the word of God in Jesus Christ is true. And it's as glorious and big, and very great. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. See where this man has started off in the morning. He's pulled his head out from under his sheet, and there he's come out of his little world, and he's taken up to praise God. He's had some help with his psaltery in his heart, and we might need a bit of help with, dare I say, a bowl of cornflakes or a cup of coffee. Wake up first, wake early, and then praise God. And we'll see how, as we do so, we're helped as well. You know, we don't do these things for our own sakes. We do things for obedience to God. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. This is heavenly mindedness. That the world says it's of no earthly use, but God says that this is good. And then the prayer, which is taken from, it's in Psalm 60 from verse 5. You see the same. Same words there. The one that started off again, one that has been cast off, scattered, with whom God is displeased. These amazing how these two psalms have been joined together, but they've taken out these. They've edited out these. The section on the calamities in 57, and now of the God's being displeased with his people, and this praise then has brought us yet to this prayer. It's not that the parts have been edited out, it's just using these words that are so broad and great, they're so applicable to so many situations. And we won't be surprised that the Bible speaks to people in all sorts of conditions and states, and we should make great use of it, as even from this example here. So now the fixed heart of praise is a fixed heart of prayer, a ready heart of praise, and a ready heart of prayer. The praise here has led on to prayer. When we have God as being so great, then it encourages us in our prayers to God, doesn't it? Our Father in heaven, we pray to. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. He now has the confidence. The heart is warmed by prayer. Is warm. It's not warmed. Warmed by praise, and lifted up, so that there is the confidence in God. That to trust in deliverance from the Lord, whatever the circumstances are here, and that the Lord will save. He's powerful, all able. We should have a full confidence in the Lord at the beginning of every day as we set out upon the day ahead of us. The Lord be with you, as we say to one another, and with thy spirit. And as we come in our prayers in the prayer book, but we should, that should be our motto, the Lord be with thee. And so then this prayer opens up, and we see what is asked for here, to be delivered, but also he says God has spoken in his holiness. He's trusting in here in God's word. God has spoken, and he trusts what God has said. Now, he speaks here of various territories being taken over and belonging to him. And if you remember the beginning of David's reign as king, the very large number of the people followed after Saul's son, Ish-bosheth. And David only had a small part of the inheritance. He was meant to be king of the whole kingdom. And there were going to be promises given to him for an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting covenant. But he immediately started off with opposition. People were at war with him. And yet you see the situation here, beginning with praise to God. It's done with a panic. Quick, what should we do? Press the panic button. Press the call out for help. Ask someone else. Who do you turn to? No. He starts with this sure praise of God. He knows his God. So he speaks to God as God at the beginning in praise, giving him the glory, getting things re-established, getting things set straight like he should. And then he comes to this matter of prayer, and soon his prayer is turned into great confidence. We find ourselves praying very hesitantly. And yet, if we'd start with this big view of God in praise of his glory above the heavens, well then how easy might it be to pray? You know, this is not perhaps the way that we find ourselves in prayer every time, but it may be a help in certain instances where we're stuck. Start with praise. I think we've come across this in a previous psalm before, and I remember giving an example of an army somewhere went into battle, and they one who was the leader of the army, rather than turning to prayer first, they went forth into battle praising God at full volume, and it frightened the enemy off. Well, I don't know how often such a thing has happened, but sometimes it's the way. We're in different states from time to time, and sometimes we can't manage certain things. But if we have trouble with prayers, then often our view of God has gone down. So here, this, remember the heart is fixed when you're stuck. Remember, if you're in Jesus Christ, your heart is fixed. Therefore, praise God. Praise him with singing, praising as loud as you can from the treetops or from the top of your heart, your full heart of praise. This is not vain repetition. It's a hearty praise of our great Saviour. What the Lord Jesus has done so much. This is just in a few words here. But then he comes on then with these prayers to see this success. We're frightened of evangelicals of using the word success. People think of it in a worldly sense. Here we're talking about kingdoms that are to be taken. But it's not to puff up David's pride. He's been given this task of being king. He's been anointed king. He's got a responsibility. And under God, to lead people. Under God. You say, well, David was a very strange man. He did so much wrong. Well, don't we say then, if God will hear David, will he not have mercy upon us when we pray to him. I would divide Shechem, meet out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Here the different regions of the country are set out for him. Judah, where his capital will be in Jerusalem, where will be the center, and these other places which were against him will be taken over. And so he can pray to be delivered. These at the moment are his enemies, but he claims this as being his promises that God has made to him. Moab is my washpot. These people did turn out to be overcome. Well, as you know, the kingdom of Israel turned over to David and they joined him. And then these other nations were also subdued. And in 2 Samuel in chapter 8, just briefly, 2 Samuel chapter 8, we read, after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and it mentions places which he took. And verse 2, he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them to the ground. And then Edom, it says of Edom, will I cast out my shoe? That's a despicable thing to do over them. And then, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? We read about in Obadiah there that Edom was the high up. Edom was where Esau was. There was the people of Esau, and they had a mountain, Seir, and a strong place, a mountain to have, hard to capture. They felt very secure there. Obadiah spoke of them. Not sure which time this was when he was speaking. In verse 3 of Obadiah, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Now there were people like that in some of the epistles in Revelation, those churches. Some of them were in high fortified places, and they were warned as well that they would be brought down. People feel secure. The heart of man, often it's harder than the rock that they're in. But they are, in some ways, in very secure places. How could the people of God storm these strongholds? Well, of course, there's impossible things ahead for us. I always think the greatest challenge has got to be old age coming upon us. How are we going to manage? It's beyond human strength. And yet, it says here, will not thou, O God, who has cast us off, go back there to that theme of the earlier part of Psalm 60 about being cast off. So it seemed like a terrible state they were in. It brings up this theme again. In all this boldness and praise, remembering, sense of being cast off, what comes upon us from time, it shouldn't overwhelm us. It should bring us down forever. God has cast us off. Perhaps there's a reason. I can say for a season, for a time, when we feel that God has cast us off, he's chastised us for a while. That's a good thing, isn't it? God deals with us. But we come back to him here. Will not thou, O God, who has cast us off? Isn't our trust the same? Big projects ahead of us. Impossible projects. Great mountains. Strong cities. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will bring me into heaven? Will I get to the end? How will I get through? Doesn't it always get easier? As you get older, get harder. But my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I'm ready. I'm in Jesus Christ. I'll sing to God's praise. I'll turn to him in prayer. I'll seek him. Wilt not thou, O God, who has cast us off, and wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Well, David had an army to go forward to him. We think, well, what army have we got? But here, Give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. He's not even trusting in his army. His army perhaps wouldn't be enough, but he's trusting in the Lord only. Vain is the help of man. He doesn't have doesn't have his own plan. He doesn't have a secondary cause to help him out. But you see, when he realizes that his help is that man is vain, his confidence in God is all the more. When we see in ourselves less strength, when we're weak, we point to our strength in Jesus Christ, and our heart is fixed again. It's ready again where it should be, and we're as fresh as the day we were born, if that's an apt expression. Vain is the help of man, but not the help of God. We're more and more confident in the help of the Lord. So he can declare in the concluding verse, through God we shall do valiantly. I don't want you all to say it out loud, but we could. We should have it as is it the Pilgrim's Hymn? He who would valiant be. It's not quite even like this, is it? We should have a hymn, through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. As some have said before, you can be your own worst enemy. But all the things that are against us, through God we should do valiantly. So we're encouraged to praise the Lord and to pray and just not to be perturbed by the things of the enemies. Whatever battles we're in, whatever lies ahead, you may find then that beginning with praise, I always think of these songs of praise. You think of certain hymns of praise, and there's not much theology in them sometimes. They're a bit empty, just speaking of God in a few vague expressions. This is in Jesus Christ. This is fixed, ready in Christ. The heart remedy from the Saviour of sinners. We must get these important things in there. This is because of the work of the Holy Spirit towards us who were without hope, who were not seeking God. He brought us to him. God's power fixes the sinful heart and gives us this confidence that would otherwise sound like vain pomp and boasting. This is then a time perhaps to begin with praise. It says in Psalm 60 and verse 4, that one where the second part of this psalm came from, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. So in this work of taking this gospel out to all the nations of the earth, so that the praises may be sung among all the nations that we read of in verse 3 there. This banner, this Jesus Christ, all about him, everything about him is this banner that goes forth. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is given to us, the people of God, not just for ourselves, but it may be displayed because of the truth. This is the truth. This is the people don't know the truth. They are in their sins. They're in danger. We know all these things. But it's to be displayed, to be set forth in the enemy's territory. Who would have thought to take the strong city, the strong mountain ranges? We could never get up this mountain. But this is all in Jesus Christ. Just as this was set out for David, who went out going forth to conquer, so Jesus Christ has gone forth, and he has conquered. He's conquered sin and death and hell, and he reigns forevermore, and his people. You know, we sometimes think our part is so big, but it's a very small part to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be humble before him, to see in ourselves no good thing, not even the we haven't got strength. There's no good thing that dwells in our flesh, according to St. Paul. And yet, we are to know that we're fixed, that we're ready in Jesus Christ. And so may our praises lead us on to be confident in God, that He is our God, and He will keep all His people for all that He has for us to do. Through God, we shall do valiantly. Some of those things you think, I've got very little to do. How can I be valiant? How can one of us be valiant who's very little? Well, all of us are, aren't we? In the world's eyes, not what are we? Nothing very much. We're not very valiant. If we stand saying, oh God, my heart is fixed. We have our faith fully in the Lord Jesus Christ for what's to come. Then that's valiant. That's most valiant. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for the fixed, secure heart that the Christian has. Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that Thou hast given us. And through Him, in Him, Thou hast given us everlasting life. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast taken from us the fear of the strong enemies that are against the people of God. And we pray, Lord, for the church throughout the world, that it may be a church who knows that the hearts of the people are fixed in God, in Jesus Christ, and are secure and strong, and are able to praise Thee in all circumstances, and are able to trust Thee for all that's to come, for all the barriers, all the oppositions and mountains. We thank Thee that they're made low, as the way for the Lord Jesus Christ is clear ahead unto His heavenly kingdom. Keep us, we pray, and we ask for Thy blessing in this coming week for all Thy people. In the Lord Jesus' name, Amen.